Welcome to Talk Wealth to Me, a safe space podcast where we chat about anything and everything related to personal finance.
The information contained in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute as accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Talk Wealth to Me. Phil, congratulations again on the new house, man. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's great. And it's something where it's cool that my kids get to put all those stickers you see on the wall behind me and I don't have to worry about them messing it up I have to fix it myself.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, when you guys got your house, I'm sure you and your wife co-signed for that mortgage, right?
We did, yeah.
Well, that's a conversation we're going to have today because so many of the questions that we get on a daily basis is about co-signing and how that affects their credit and should they do it and I need to get a car but I can't afford it but I can get a co-signer. My boyfriend, I love him. My girlfriend, I love her. Should I co-sign for this? Man, where do we begin?
Right? You hear those stories and then you're like, but we're going to be together forever. So let's do it. And you swipe in, save the day, co-sign. And you know, hopefully that works out. But, you know, there are some risks that go along with it. And, you know, it's important to know what you're signing up for.
Well, yes. And so for just to give you an idea, I mean, co-signing is when you are going to purchase something typically of a larger amount and you can't or don't want to take on the loan on your own. And a lot of times people will co-sign or ask for a co-signer because they may not get approved on their own volition, whether that's income related, whether their credit's poor. There's a number of reasons why you might not be able to retain a loan. And there are, when you go to, for instance, just to give you an idea, if you're going to buy a home, living in Southern California or on the coast, it can be very expensive to buy a home. It's expensive to buy a home anywhere, right, in the U.S., but you may not be able, I know that I wouldn't have been able to get the loan for the house that my wife and I are currently in unless both of our incomes and both of our credit ratings were looked at in the situation, in which case we are co-owners and co-signers of the home. But that's not always, but there's so many different ways that people can do that. We're married. It's something that we're getting into together. You're married. That's something you're getting into together. But there are a lot of people that just want to make that big purchase and they'll take on the co-signer.
Yeah. What about those couples who are not married and they want to purchase a home who may or may not be thinking about marriage, but they hear that the market's great or they get excited and like, I've always wanted to be a homeowner, committed long-term relationship type thing. And then they jump into it. And then, you know, or people who aren't even on that stage where, you know, they're trying to get to there maybe. And maybe one part of the, you know, one half of the couple is trying to help the other one bring up their credit so that when they do get married, they can go buy that house.
Right.
And let me help you get this car loan, or let me help you get this credit card, or let me help you get this or that. And because together we're going to purchase a home down the road and you hope it works out. But there is that inherent risk that goes along with lending your credit.
Yeah, it's so, so dangerous. I mean, we've seen so many different scenarios through the years of people that have both thrived because of a co-signer and been absolutely burned by it. And one of the ways of somebody establishing credit is when they go to get credit. So they might have, let's say, for instance, a parent. And a kid where the child is trying to establish credit, they're younger, 18, whatever it might be, and the parent can co-sign for a vehicle because that child doesn't have, has a smaller income, they have a smaller income, the parent has an established income, an established credit score, so they co-sign, and then that is a loan as a co-signer, that kid is now responsible for that loan, so that can help really propel their credit. Can build.
I mean, that's how I got my
and learns responsibility.
Card
There's a lot of ways
in the day, right?
Oh, really? That's the way you got your credit card.
Yeah, I got my first credit card. My dad co-signed for me, and he walked out and said, "Don't mess up my credit." And then he left.
Good for him.
That was his way of teaching me. And I bring this story up during our credit presentations. It took me about 5 minutes to make my first bad credit decision, you know, because that first credit card was at Circuit City. And that's how long it took to get back to Car Audio, where I bought too much stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, again, and so that's the danger, right? Your right? dad co-signed so you could establish credit, so you could get that thing that you wanted to.
Right.
And when it comes to paying it back, even though the co-signer may not own all that car stereos, it may not own the stuff that you bought, you're making the payments or not making the payments in certain situations. But that co-signer, your father there, is just as responsible for that right. monthly payment as you are, whether there was an agreement and a handshake and a wink or whatever it might be between right. the two of you. And that's just part of co-signing. You are taking responsibility that payment gets made on a monthly basis.
On time, right? Yeah, it's something where, you know, he was putting his credit on the line. I didn't mess it up. I may have carried a balance a little longer than he would have. I mean, I definitely carried a balance longer than he would have because he's that old school, don't carry a balance. But if I made the payments on time, eventually paid it off. And before I was done paying it off, you get the offers in the mail because all of a sudden I had credit history.
You established it, right.
And then I was able to go off and running on my own. Circuit City eventually closed and the card got closed down as well. So he's no longer on the hook for my Car Audio that I don't purchase anymore. But it's something where you, yeah, exactly. It would be bad if he was still on there. But it's something where, you know, it was the starting point. If I'd have gotten, I got declined before that. So it gave me that first little push in the credit world. And then I was off and running. But
that's good or bad, right? But you had established credit yeah. and eventually the long run, you know, you eventually yeah, bought a home.
With, exactly.
With your wife, which is phenomenal because, you know, home ownership, there's great pride in that. And yeah. The interesting thing is there are so many people that we run into where they'll be in love. And the stories that we hear over and over again, you know, is I was in love, my future husband or my boyfriend at the time or my girlfriend, whatever it might be, they didn't have a car. They were struggling to get to work and I loved him. And so I gave him, you know, I co-signed on the car loan.
Save the day, right?
And yes. And then they go on and then he's going to cover it and he promises and all of this stuff. And then they break up and all of a sudden he decides he can't afford the car anymore. And
or doesn't want it. Or doesn't it want it.
Or yeah, right. Whatever stupid reason it might be. Yeah, right. And then all of a sudden you're getting phone calls from the creditor saying, hey, you co-signed on this car loan. They haven't made the payment in 2 months. What's going on here?
Exactly.
And you're freaking out and you're not talking to your boyfriend anymore, but you still are legally responsible for the car, for that car debt.
Right. Exactly. And it's something where if they don't pay it, you know, for example, a car, that's going to get repossessed. Guess whose credit report it's going on?
Right. He doesn't make the payment or they don't make the payment. That the co-signer is also getting that on their record. Just like that co-signer would get positive points if they did make their payments every single month. So it can work in your favor as well if you trust that. But I just don't know how many times I have seen it where it has just absolutely ruined people and made things even worse.
I feel like we've seen it happen so many times where when you hear about people even thinking about doing it, you can't help but shake your head and say, oh, I don't know, you're walking a very tight rope there. And maybe you should, I always say during our budgeting presentations, I give that example, the car buying one, and then because we've heard it so many times. And then I say, you know, what you could have done is had that be a good financial teaching moment, look over to your significant other and say, you know, I know you like this car. I know you're really set on it, but maybe this is a sign you should get a more affordable vehicle that financially makes more sense now. Solid financial advice. It may get you dumped at the car dealership. So it's not good dating advice, but your credit will be safe.
Right. For the most part. I mean, the thing is if you can't afford it on your own. Now, there are situations. My parents co-signed for my apartment when I was in college, my senior year, knowing full well that they were going to make the payment on it, right? My parents, I was lucky enough that they were paying for my apartment. Although I had to make the payments, I still were making the payments and everything, but they knew that they went into it knowing we're taking care of this, or we know if a payment doesn't get made, we're going to make up. We have the money to take care of this. We're not
cover.
Right.
So I get this question all the time. So I'll pass it along to you. Will you co-sign for your kids?
That completely depends. I will not co-sign on a vehicle for them if they wanted to buy a new vehicle and they, you know, they think it's really neat, but Dad, I have to have that BMW, blah, 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 and they're 25 years old. No. If they can't afford the car without my co-signature, then absolutely not. Now, if they needed a place to live and they're in school and they wanted to live off campus because they were in the dorms for a certain amount of time and their portion of the rent is a certain amount, then yes, I would probably go on the application for my child to get into an apartment. But I also know that I'm paying at this point in our lives, I will probably be paying for that living in that scenario as well. Now, if I had to co-sign for an apartment when my son is off to go get married or wants to be on his own and wants to live in this sweet pad with a nice pool and everything else, and it's above his means, then no. I mean, the scenario is completely different. Right. It just depends on the situation. So
how about their first credit card? Maybe they're off to college, living on the dorms, have a car that's paid for, nothing fancy, but they want that first credit card and they just got declined.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Yes, I probably would. Or I would, if they were getting their own car, and that's what I would do typically is if I bought my kids a car, let me step back a little bit. If I were to be lucky enough where I could purchase my kids a car for their, when they are old enough to drive, and a lot of us parents do that, we'll buy an old used car. But what I would do is I would go through the process and I wouldn't just say, here it is, you know, congratulations, kid. I would put them on the loan. Even if it was a small loan, right? Even if it's a used car and I'm paying for it, I would put them on the loan as a co-signer. And at the same point, now I'm doing it for the reverse reasons that we were just talking about. I want to help them establish credit at an early age. But not only that, I want them to understand that making these payments every month is a responsibility. It's something that if you want this car, you're going to have to do it. So I would also make them pay a specific amount for it, meaning they have to have skin in the game. Right. Okay. There's a way of doing this. My friends and I were just talking about, they have a 15 and a half year old son and, they went out and got him. Yep. And they went out and they found a pretty decent Honda Civic, and it was, and it ended up with this world that we live in right now.
That's so expensive.
especially for used cars, right? They thought we're going to go out and buy a used car. It was honestly, this is the truth. It was cheaper for them to buy a new Civic than it was for them to go buy a used Civic. Yeah,
I believe
it. And they would get all the updated stuff. And literally, it was $100 difference. It was unreal the way this used car thing is working. But for them, they were like, we can't. What kind of parents are we? We get our kid a brand new car. Right. So part of the deal was they had to spend, they had to either put, this is part of it, they either, because they knew their son was working and was making money, and he also had money in his bank account that he had gotten over the years with birthdays and all that stuff with grandparents, and they said, you're going to do one of two things. One, you're either going to put an amount down as a deposit,
right,
or you're going to make a part of the monthly payments.
Oh, that sounds fair.
So he had to choose which one he wanted to do. So one is a bigger chunk out of his bank account, or he's just going to make monthly payments. And it was his decision. But they were like, we're not going to go buy you a new car and teach you, like, this is just falls out of the sky.
Something that happens.
This is you have skin in the game. This is your vehicle, but you are paying for it as well. So that was part of the deal. And
what did he take? What option? And
the down payment.
Oh, really?
Smart young man. Yes.
Because then he doesn't have to deal with it.
He doesn't have to deal with it monthly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And he had, I'm not going to say how much it was, but he had a specific amount. But he had the
money available.
In his bank account, and it was worth it to him to make that significant amount of payment. Yeah. And it actually, from a financial standpoint, we're all looking, I looked at it and said, man, that kid is smarter than he knows. Because eventually when you do that, you're paying a lot more interest in the monthly obligations than you are when you put more money down. So it's
especially smart. If he had the money just sitting around, it's not like he was investing it or doing anything like that.
No, not everybody is in that situation. You know, in this situation, their kid was,
I think he saved his money,
he had it, And but at this point, he's going to learn that he's going to take care of that car more. It's going to be, you know, he's a part of it.
That's his hard-earned cash.
That's right. And he can literally look at it and go, pride of ownership. Mom and dad didn't just give this to me.
He helped purchase it.
He put in. He bought it. Yes, and it was painful. He had to, that hurt.
Imagine as a kid giving up a big chunk of your savings at 15 and a half, just like years worth of saving.
Yeah. How many years did it take for him to build that up?
Right.
And here he is. So yes, I thought it was very great parenting. That's a good way to do it. But and that's something we would teach. Now, on the other hand, if this was a girlfriend or a boyfriend and that person wanted to buy a nicer car and they needed your co-signature to do it, I'm not so sure that's a smart move because you are putting a legal obligation into the game, but you don't technically own the car.
Right.
Or you're not getting the benefit of it. You're not driving it.
It's not your car.
He stops paying, it damages you.
Right.
What's the point here?
If it's underinsured, it gets in an accident, that can come back and get you as well.
Oh,
you
know, without a doubt.
If that vehicle is lost, stolen, lost in an accident, and it wasn't properly insured, you're still on the hook for that amount, whatever that amount happens to be.
Yeah. Well, so, it's interesting because there was an article which made you send this to me and say, man, this is really good. And it conjured up a lot of thoughts and memories for me coming up talking to people. But the headline of this article, and this will give you a brief synopsis, is my girlfriend co-signed my mortgage. I paid the mortgage for 4 years plus $125,000 down payment. She paid the utilities. Now she wants half. And it ends up, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it ends up that the relationship's not working out at this point now. She co-signed. He put $125,000 down in his own name or out of his own bank account. Yeah. And she paid the utilities on the house living with him. They played house for a while. And now it's not working out. And whether she feels scorned or whatever it might be, sad that the relationship's not working, whatever it is, she wants to probably to sell the house and then gain half of the income on it. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. Did I screw myself here? Because I had her co-sign on it. And
the answer is maybe.
The answer is maybe, because there's no clear defined definition of this, but there's a lot of what ifs.
Right. It's definitely something where you ask, if you could ask him a few more questions, you can give him a straight answer and say yes or no, you're in trouble.
Right.
But potentially it could be a really bad financial situation that they're in.
Right. If she's on the deed as a co-owner,
then he's
bunk. They're going to have to sell and he's going to try and they get
buy her out
or try to buy her out. That's right. But if she's just a co-signer and he's actually on the deed, and
if
she was just on the
proprietor,
co-signer for the actual mortgage, then that's a different story. She actually put in all kinds of, she's putting a lot of risk into it and gaining nothing. The benefits of buying the house.
State thing, depending.
But she's not losing
anything
either, unless of course he decides down the road to just give it up, and now the house is being foreclosed on,
right?
And her name's on it, which is a very
well. You know what else it could do though is if they do break up, and even if he doesn't, he has got to refinance that loan, because if she goes out to try and buy her own place,
correct,
and they're going to see and they're going to say, you already have a mortgage, you can't,
right,
you can't get a second one, you know,
he would have to refinance and refinance on his own without her on it,
right? Yeah, and
which is possible. That's they can do possible, that if he's got the income to be able to do it,
right? Depending on his financial situation, he may be able to do that, and he may not. But it's scary how Google knows what headlines I'm going to click on, on a Friday afternoon.
But like, it's more common than you think.
Yeah.
A lot of people will co-sign because they love, you know, even just dropping by the dealership and you go, hey, let's just go look at cars. And you may not even have thought of getting a car. And then all of a sudden the dealer is going, hey, man, I tell you what, that we can buy your car right now. We can trade it in. We can get you in a new one.
You were there for an oil change.
And you're all excited. And the girlfriend's going, oh my gosh, that car would be really nice. But you can't afford it without it. And then she decides, oh, but if we co-sign, we can get it together. You know, you're on the hook for it.
Right.
it's and, something and if it where, doesn't work out, Who's getting the car?
In trouble, right? Who's going to keep the car? Right. Who's going to keep that financial responsibility? I mean, if it's an amicable breakup and one person can afford it and take the car, they could refinance it and take the other person off. But that might not always be the case.
Well, I mean, breakups can be nasty. Breakups, so you could just really say, you know what? I'm going to stick it to her.
It could be, it could be done out of spite. Right, exactly. And it's something where you open up yourself to that potential by doing the cosign. But you're right. They could have been at the dealership like, you know, can you drop me off so I can get an oil change? And then all of a sudden, or pick me up to get an oil change or a recall or something. And then they're like, why don't you park and come on in? This guy's showing me this brand new 2021, whatever. Yeah. And they got a great deal going right now. And they'll give me more money than my car's worth because of the used car thing. And then you're sitting there all of a sudden, you know, 4 hours later, because
you're still sitting at that, forever, that dealer's desk,
that little cubicle.
All of a sudden you're going, okay. And you've negotiated back and forth for four hours.
Now you've invested.
And you're
half
signing
your day.
All the papers now. And all of a sudden you're going, oh man, should we have
what
done
am
this?
I doing?
What did,
right.
I already signed. Oh my gosh, what did I do? And exactly. Then you gotta go, well, it'll all work out. It'll all be fine. Yeah.
And then each dealership has their own little cheesy thing that they like to do to congratulate you on your car purchase.
All the upselling too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the extended warranties that you'll get phone calls for.
Plan on your windshield.
The next 3 years, you'll get calls about extended warranties that are running out. You need to.
Those start up like the next day too.
Oh my gosh, that's
I don't
so bad.
Even know how they know. But you know, it's a risky thing co-signing. But I do tell people when we talk to young people and say, you know, how do I get my credit started? How can I've gotten declined. I don't know what to do. You know, you can go to secure credit card, but also if you have a parent who's
that's
willing
to
risk for you, you know, that is a possibility where if you can, now they're putting their credit on the line for you. So you got to be responsible and make sure that you don't mess that up for them.
Well, and parents can give their kids a footprint as well if they make them an authorized user on a credit card. Now it's not the same as having your own account, but it is a way of having them learn how to use it, and
you
then
don't
it
even
is
have
a
to
small
give them a card.
Imprint. That's correct. Don't even have to get them a card. They're associate. That's another way you can co-sign for a credit card of theirs, and you know, don't even let them use it. You can start establishing their credit, and you can put one thing on it
or
that you pay every month.
If they got to pay for their own cell phone.
Right.
If you were to get a credit card, put the credit card on the cell phone, and there you go. That's it.
Just every month, and that
pay
will establish
off your cell
the
phone there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There was a story that I had when we first started doing this. It was back in 2009 or 10, and I was working with a young lady, and she just was so distraught, and her credit was just destroyed, and she was 22 years old, and I'm like, how is this possible? And she started down the road and telling me this story about her. Parents had started a business and the business wasn't going very well and their car had been repossessed and she was not living with them at the time and they were like in dire straits and they reached out to her and they said we need a car, we don't have the ability to get a loan, nobody will let us sell us a car right now, we really need your could you co-sign for this car.
Right.
We promise that we'll pay it. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. And of course, it's her parents,
right?
She doesn't want
to
see them
no
struggle. She doesn't want to see them not have a way to get around. She doesn't want to see them not succeed.
Right.
And so she reluctantly, but did because she cares about her family, co-signed for this truck. And 8 months later, her parents she started getting phone calls and the parents just stopped paying it.
Oh,
and,
no.
And she was getting phone calls about paying on the car from the credit union or wherever they got the loan.
Right.
And it crushed her credit and she didn't do anything wrong, but she had a repossession. She was trying to help her parents and her parents did. Right. I mean, purely beyond the fact that it just broke my heart that if parents would be so terribly, terribly just, I can't even use the right word, but absolutely treat their child and put them in such a bad position.
Right.
Now, part of it probably is that that's just the way they've always lived their lives and it's no big deal. She'll rebound, blah, blah, blah. She's tough. But they put her way behind the eight ball.
Well, it should have been a red flag that the fact that they didn't have a car was because their previous car was repossessed. But she's 22
years old, and it's her parents, and they're begging her, and they're looking at her. You know, I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid when you're talking about feelings. She loves her parents. She probably had that, like, uneasy pit in her stomach because she didn't really want to do that. But at the same time,
you can't leave
these are my parents.
Right.
Yeah, and they did all this for me. And she said that too, that her parents would say, oh, all the things that we did for you, we clothed you, we fed you. By the way, that's part of having a child.
Right, that's part of the
You're not commitment. Doing them any favors.
Yeah, it's not like you did anything extra. That's what you signed up for.
That's what you signed up for. Through right. the time that they're 18 years old. And it's just being a good human being. But they, right. you know, they completely screwed her. And that has stuck with me for so, so long. When we ended up helping her, we got her off that thing because her parents had had a rap sheet that were pretty long. And we got her an attorney that helped her with that. And, you know, it eventually fell off. But, I mean, at the same time, it still was going to take 4 years for that to fall off her four more years
right.
To fall off her credit report. But anyway,
that's
it was
tough.
Yeah. But you hear stories like that all the time. You know, we talk to people and they'll say, oh, you know, I was going to co-sign for my so-and-so's this. And we're like,
I know.
I don't care how much you love this person.
Yeah.
Look, if you're married, it's a different deal. You're going in together.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, there's legal boundaries for you. Because right. no matter what happens, whether you're a cosigner or not, if you're legally married in California, you're getting half anyway right. if it doesn't work out. But if you don't have that protection if you're just a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If right. you put your name on a legal document, you're responsible for that. And you right. need to take the responsibility and take it as such.
Right. It's something where you have to know what you're signing up for. And you have to be able to sometimes make the hard decision to say no.
Yeah.
And it may in the short term be difficult where you have to say no. And in the long term though, potentially it could be a big benefit. You might be very happy that you said no, if that relationship doesn't work out.
Absolutely.
You know, like you mentioned, once you're married, there's a lot of other things going
on. Let me preface that though. When we talked about married and it's jumped to my mind is going into a marriage, you don't automatically assume the other person's credit that they came with.
That's a good point.
So when you do get married, it's not now all of a sudden you own their debt. You don't. It's what you do together contractually, where you're a part of that. Now, if you're together and you're married and you're now splitting up all your assets and because you're getting divorced, that's a whole different deal, right? You're coming up with a number, the attorneys, all that stuff.
Right.
It's
splitting investments.
Correct.
We're going to bring an expert
community
on
property.
We're going to bring an expert on again for that, to go over that.
Really? Because it's a great topic to get over because there are so many. What are you responsible for? What aren't you responsible for? You are not responsible for that person's debt just because you get married.
Right. It's not something where your credit reports will not magically kind of pull themselves in either direction. That's when we get a lot. You're like, they have bad credit. It's going to ruin my credit to marry them. No. I mean, if they continue with bad financial habits.
Right. You might want to look at that and find out why.
Right. Then maybe, that's
a whole different story, though.
Right. But the fact that you got married doesn't mean that it automatically merged. You know, if you start joining, you know, co-signing on things and homes and cars and whatnot, or they start building debt on your cards or you start having to pay for more to try and keep up with the spending, that can hurt your credit. But just the fact that you got married doesn't do anything to your credit report.
Are you going to do that for your kids? Will you co-sign? Have you ever been asked to co-sign on something?
I've not been asked to co-sign on something.
That's great. I'm proud to say your family's.
Yeah, awesome. My family, they do
their own stuff.
Yeah, they do their own stuff.
I've never been asked to co-sign either.
My brother, I went car shopping with him when he was about 18. My brother was a very young college student and a very young college graduate. So it was right after college. So he was 20, but he was already graduated and already working. And we went into the car dealership and the guy was looking at him like, yeah, are you sure you can prove your income? Are you sure you can? And he was like, just run my credit. I've been paying my student loans. I'm 20, but I've been doing this for a long time now. And the guy was like, you'll co-sign for him, right? And I was like, I don't think he needs it, but and then they eventually ran his credit. And then when they're like, oh yeah, we'll sell you a car. And he's like, actually, I don't even want this car anymore.
After the hassle he just went through, he's like, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah. So he did not buy a Chrysler 200.
God, thank God. Cause
those cars came out pretty unreliable.
Well, not only that, but he's a 20-year-old 50 guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, 50-year-olds buy that car, not a 20-year-old. He did
listen to a lot of like 50s and 60s music, so
okay. He's an old soul.
Yeah, he's an old soul. But he ended up going with a Civic, which is a smart choice compared to
his age.
Exactly. And it's something where, you know, that was the only time where, but he didn't ask me. The car sales guy was like, oh yeah, your brother's got you, right? Your brother's got
you.
Yeah,
no way.
But no, I didn't have to. Really? Would I co-sign for my kids when they get older? I think so. As long as it's something where, you know, I love the car idea that you mentioned. That's a really good idea. Like, put your skin in the game.
Yeah.
And you want the car, jump on in on the loan and one way or another. Or if it's something like a small credit card that I know that I can handle in the event that they really mess it up. And I can say, look, you cut that credit card up. We're going to close it. I'll pay the $500 and then we're done.
Good.
You know, but I would hope that they would have figured it out before then. But you got to be careful co-signing on like a $500 credit card, because you don't know if that creditor all of a sudden a year down the road bumps up your credit limit, you know, by 3,000% or whatever it is. And all of a sudden it's like a giant thousands of dollar credit card. And you're like, wait, I just co-signed for $500 card. Yeah. What happened?
Well, and there's a certain thing that you can do. You can make sure that it's signed up and you get notifications if you co-sign, and you get notifications if it's been paid or it hasn't been paid, so you can stay on top of it. But just to blindly do it, right. I think is dangerous. And as much as I love my children, as much as you know, I would trust that they would do the right thing, they're all still kids, and they may not make, they're not going to make the right decisions all the time.
They're
going to
make mistakes.
So I have to protect myself. I don't want that. So I would put kids want financial help. They're going to get, there's going to be limitations, and they're going to take a lot of responsibility for it. It's just, that's just part of life. And I think the same thing goes for a boyfriend and girlfriend. If the situation and they co-sign and they sign, I would have a legal document signed that if we break up, you assume all responsibility.
Finish up.
And even that might not be binding, right?
Yeah, so I would say, think it depends twice on the state and the, and different regulation, local
I
guidelines.
Think twice.
I
really would.
Maybe something.
Unless there's, as Beyonce would say, put a ring on it.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. But with that, I will say that you know, I would, if you're ever in that situation, just think that what are the benefits to you by doing that? And for the most part, there are very little, unless you are gaining a direct benefit from it, like you're a co-owner of your home with your wife, which you guys are building a life for yourselves. You know, there's a major benefit.
Right.
But if you're being asked to co-sign and it's benefiting only the other person, and you only stand to lose in that situation,
it may not be a smart move.
With that, if you like this podcast, when you love this podcast, please like us, download us,
Leave us a good
review, rate us, and we'll see you next week.